I bring you greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to give thanks to God that as we launch our church team for this year, Renewing Our Hearts, Building as One, we launched and started the year with this sermon and Bible study series on Christian community. We give thanks to God for the ways that He has spoken His word to our lives and for the ways that He has planted His truth in our hearts. And we will conclude the sermon series today. Next Sunday, we will start the New Testament series on the book of Philippians. And as always, the beginning of a new sermon series is an especially good time for us to visit and join a cell group if you are not in one. And if you are keen to join a cell group, please speak to any of our pastoral staff and we will be glad to connect you to the cell group ministry. Today's passage brings us to the book of Ezekiel, and I will give a very brief introduction to this book before we start the sermon. We know from the Old Testament that after the reign of King Solomon, the kingdom divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, and they continued to incur God's wrath because of their persistent idolatry, and God's judgment came firstly to the northern kingdom through the invasion of the Assyrians and the fall of the northern kingdom in 722 BC. And despite that warning, the southern kingdom of Judah continued to persist in idolatry until God's judgment came through the invasion of the Babylonians. And as a result, they had to pay tributes to the Babylonians. When King Jehoiakim rebelled against Babylon, the Babylonians invaded again and besieged the city of Jerusalem. And after he surrendered, he, together with 10,000 exiles, had to leave and be deported. And they were sent away on exile. And Ezekiel was among the group of exiles who were settled in the region of the Kibar Canal in Babylonia. And it was the fifth year of the exile that God's vision, the vision of His judgment against the southern kingdom, the impending fall of Jerusalem, and the promise of future restoration came to Ezekiel. And so, this is the brief introduction, and let us pray as we begin the sermon. God, our Father, we give thanks for the ways that Your word has molded us in our relationship with one another in oneness and unity, and for the ways that Your Spirit has nurtured us in fellowship. And may we, as we conclude this series, know what it means for us to be renewing our hearts, building as one. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. In church history, we are familiar with Martin Luther, who sparked off the Protestant Reformation in 1517. But another important figure during that time that we should know is Pope Leo X. From the records of church historians, he was known for his lavish spending, expensive entertainment, indulgent lifestyle, so much so that he was depleting the treasury of the church. Now, at that time, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was being rebuilt. And because it required lots of money as well, and because the treasury was being depleted, money was running out for the rebuilding of the basilica. And so, the Pope made an important fundraising decision almost to the day, more than 500 years ago, because on 15 March 1517, he issued a decree that the church would be selling indulgences. And the question would be, what is an indulgence? An indulgence is a certificate that was issued by the church so that you buy the certificate, your sins will be forgiven. And so the people could buy indulgences for themselves. You could buy for your family members. You could even buy for people who are deceased so that they spend less time in purgatory. Because in that theology in those days, after a person passed on, not good enough to go to heaven, you spend time in purgatory, purge yourself from remaining sins, So you can buy for people who have passed on so that they spend less time in purgatory. And this is how indulgence describes its function in the next slide. Translated from the Latin, it says, "In the authority of the Holy Church and the mercy it holds for you, I absolve you from all sin and misdeeds and remit all punishment for 10 days. 10 days only. And so question would be, if your indulgence is going to expire, what do you do? We buy insurance to cover ourselves, right? And so if your indulgence is going to expire, you buy a new one. You renew your coverage. Don't die when your indulgence has expired. No one wants to entertain the thought of dying with an expired indulgence. And so you can imagine the massive amount of funds that the Pope was able to amass for the church in order to continue building the basilica and, of course, to fund his lavish lifestyle. And it was the same with indulgences together with many other dubious practices that Martin Luther was getting very disturbed. And so he nailed his 95 theses, and among those 95 theses included his contest against the sale of indulgences, and that we know that incident sparked off the Protestant Reformation. The point is that Pope Leo was one of the many spiritual leaders in the long history of the church who abused their spiritual authority and neglected their shepherding responsibilities. And this leads us directly into today's passage, Ezekiel chapter 33, which unfolds for us two important spiritual principles of what it means for us to be a shepherded community. The context of today's passage is that earlier on in chapter 33, God had appointed Ezekiel as a watchman to keep watch and warn the people of coming judgment. And in the second half of chapter 33 was the news of the fall of Jerusalem. And leading into chapter 34, in today's passage in verses 1 to 10, God held the former kings responsible because they did not do for the people whom God has entrusted to their care. Instead, the majority of them led the nation into spiritual idolatry, moral failure, political downfall. In the ancient Near East, the shepherd was a common metaphor to describe the king. Just as shepherds must lead, nurture, protect the sheep, so likewise the king must lead, nurture, protect the people as well. Instead of leading the people, there was rampant propagation of idolatrous practices. Instead of nurturing the people, there was selfish exploitation for personal gain. Instead of protecting the people, there was willful neglect of the weak and vulnerable. And so Ezekiel declared, God himself is the true king. God himself is the true shepherd of the flock, true shepherd of the people. God himself will take care of the flock. God himself will be against the shepherds. God himself will destroy the fat and the strong. Question: what does it mean for God to destroy the fat and strong sheep? The fat and strong sheep refer to the broader categories. The broader categories of community leaders and those people who were rich and powerful, who also participated in idolatrous practices, who also participated in selfish exploitation, who also participated in the downfall of the nation and the neglect of the people. Therefore, the point about verses 1 to 10 is that God was giving his exhortation to the exiles through the prophet Ezekiel that despite the judgment against the former kings, despite the fall of Jerusalem, God himself is still the true king and shepherd of the flock. God himself would gather them back from exile. God himself would do for them what their former kings had failed to do for them. And therefore, the first spiritual principle for what it means for us to be a shepherded community is to lead no one astray. To lead no one astray. We started with the negative examples of Pope Leo X back in the 16th century. But throughout history, even up to present times, we continue to encounter negative examples as well. it was reported in the news that there is a Filipino pastor by the name of Apollo Quiboloy. He claimed to be the appointed son of God. The police searched for him, a manhunt for 16 days until they arrested him, charged him, sentenced him, and put him in prison for human trafficking and sexual abuse. Apparently, he had been recruiting young women to be his personal assistants, and during that time, he would sexually abuse them. But to this very day, he continued to deny the charges. He claimed that all these were false accusations from disgruntled former church members against him. And even though he is still in prison, he got his lawyer to file letters to nominate him as a nominee for the upcoming elections to be a senator. And it shocked the whole country. It shocked everybody. All these negative examples contrast with how Ezekiel's vision would be ultimately fulfilled by Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. For he declared in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Therefore, today's passage here and God's word to us is that during this Lent season, this is an especially timely occasion for us, pastors, elders, deacons, church leaders, ministry leaders, cell group leaders, Sunday school teachers, youth mentors, young adult mentors, and all those among us who have responsibility for the people whom God has entrusted to your care in various ways, to enter into a time of reflection, a time of repentance against the selfish exploitation for personal gain, such as amassing power, amassing prestige, amassing popularity, as well as to repent against the willful neglect of God's people whom He has entrusted to our care. And moving from repentance to renewal, that renewal of our leadership journey is to look to Jesus Christ and follow in His footsteps of Christ, who as the Good Shepherd served and laid down His life for many. And so, whether it is repentance or whether it is renewal, may this occasion be a time for us to deepen our journey. And then and only then will PSPC be a shepherded community that leads no one astray. The second principle for what it means to be a shepherded community is from verses 11 to 16. Ezekiel declares that God Himself is the true shepherd of the flock, who will seek the lost and restore the strayed, and to tend the sheep that is wounded, and to strengthen the sheep that is weak. And in so doing, God Himself will fulfill what King David had written in Psalm 23 that we had read earlier on in today's service. And because God Himself is the true shepherd, because Jesus Himself is the good shepherd, the second principle for what it means for us to be a shepherded community is to leave no one behind. Leave no one behind. To leave no one behind means, firstly, to seek the lost and restore the stray. So the question we need to ask is, what sort of responses do the lost and the stray encounter from fellow Christians or even from us in PSPC? You get what I mean? Think about that question. How do the lost and the strayed, and what kind of responses do they get from fellow Christians? It was recently reported in the news that on 6th of March, the South Korean Air Force was conducting a live firing exercise, and two planes accidentally dropped 8 bombs on civilian residential areas, causing damages and 15 casualties, which subsequently increased to 20 over. And Air Force had to apologize for the incident and compensate for the damages. But what is the point of bringing this up? The point is that it is tragic for civilians to come under friendly fire. It is tragic for the lost and strayed to come under friendly fire from fellow Christians. How does friendly fire from fellow Christians look like? It can come in the form of people who try to be caring but end up judging. Have you encountered that kind of experiences? People try to care for you but actually you feel judged. And people who try to be compassionate but you feel condemned. So you are in a very bad shape, and then you got friendly fire from fellow Christians. Instead, the plight of the lost and strayed should stir a truly caring and compassionate response from us, because like the words of Peter Oatch, American professor in modern Judaic studies, he once wrote these words: "In this world created by God, a cry means at once that someone somewhere is in pain, that there is also somewhere a redeemer or someone who can and will respond to hear and heal that pain, and that we who are in earshot of the cry are obligated to hear it and join in the work of healing." We who are in the earshot of the cry are obligated to hear it and join in the work of healing. Therefore, if you know of people in your cell group, in your ministry, in your respective community or group of friends here, if you know of people who are lost, strayed, or backslidden, let us leave no one behind by seeking them out and restoring them back. Leave no one behind means, secondly, to tend the wounded and strengthen the weak. For example, in this world that we live in, we sometimes encounter ageism. Ageism that believes that those who are weak and old, elderly, they are a burden to society, they are no longer useful. Ageist stereotype, ageist mindset. My wife, who is the principal at the Presbyterian High School, mentioned to me that last year they organized an Intergenerational Day, where they brought the seniors from the nearby Active Aging Center to the school to participate in activities organized by the students themselves. At the end of the program, as the students brought the seniors back to the gathering point, the school photographer managed to capture a shot, very timely, very moving shot, which I share with you with permission. This is the picture. At the gathering point, when it was time for the seniors to be gathered back to the transport, the picture was captured of the student, an elderly lady, saying a prayer for each other. Therefore, instead of succumbing to ageist stereotype mindset that is so prevalent in this world, we have a picture of an intergenerational blessing. At the same time, at last year's PSBC Senior Sunday, our Sunday school children blessed the seniors by serving them cakes, and one of the senior members responded with these words of thanksgiving. She said, "Thank you, Sunday school children and teachers, for organizing this. It was a really lovely experience for us seniors, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The cake was delicious too, and the children were delightful. Thank you." The point is that Christian community, including churches, including mission schools, we have a special responsibility to show the world of what it means to be a shepherded community that leaves no one behind. And in so doing, we receive an intergenerational blessing. And this is especially crucial for Singapore as we move towards becoming a super-aged society next year, 2026. And in 5 years' time, 2030, one in five people will be 60 years old and above. And such intergenerational blessing can take place in different ways, at different times, For example, when the pastoral staff conduct pastoral visitation to the seniors, the homebound, the seniors, those who are well and able, to join us. But we can do more. For example, if your cell group has a senior member, if your cell group has a homebound member, you yourself can organize visits to them. And that if there are homebound members who find it hard to come to church because it is hard for them to get transport, perhaps you can organize among yourselves, provide transport for them to come to church so that they do not need to depend on the live stream. And if a weekly transportation arrangement is too challenging, consider bringing them twice a month or perhaps once a month for Communion Sunday. And these are things that cell group can do for one another. These are what we can do for one another. If your cell group is more homogeneous and does not have seniors or homebound members, you can still avail your services to care for the elderly. For example, befriending, caring and supporting the elderly from the Sarah Active Aging Center. They come to church to attend our Mandarin service, and you can provide practical help to bring them up and to bring them down, befriend them, serve them breakfast. And these are things that we can do so that we receive an intergenerational blessing by leaving no one behind. And in fact, the needs go beyond the seniors to many other Love in Action ministries, so that in our social concern, we can make a difference by leaving no one behind, by tending the wounded, and to strengthen the weak. And so if you or your group of friends or your cell group would like to know how best to be involved in any ways, do speak to any of the pastoral staff. We will be glad to connect you to the relevant ministries. So ultimately, the reason why PSBC's church team for this year is renewing our hearts, building as one, is because of our theological conviction. Our theological conviction is that the church is people, and only then do the people have a building. Therefore, it is foremost, it is fundamental, it is foundational for us to renew our hearts first before we renew our building. If we get it wrong, we got it wrong. And it is for that purpose that we started the year with the Sermon and Bible Study series on Christian community. Because it is foremost, it is foundational, it is fundamental to renew our hearts before we renew our building. And so if I were to use just one word to envision what each topic in the series is trying to say to us, I would say that PSBC is to be a Christian community that is spiritual, interdependent, restoring, worshipful, sent, serving, loving, repentant, forgiving, shepherded. During the Somalia Civil War 1993, the U.S. sent Special Operation Forces from the U.S. Army Rangers on a secret mission to capture the leaders of a militant group. However, that secret mission, which was supposed to be straightforward, turned out to be something that they did not expect. Instead of a straightforward mission, they found themselves surrounded by militants. They were suffering casualties. And that whole episode was portrayed by the movie Black Hawk Down, which showed the Rangers trying to rescue every single wounded comrade. Why did they risk everything just to save and rescue every single comrade? Because the Rangers' motto is Nemo Residuo, Latin for leave no one behind. And the pledge and the creed of the Rangers has a line which says, I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy. In a battle, it is easy and tempting to leave a fallen comrade behind. So likewise in our church life, it is tempting to leave people behind as well. Likewise in our church life, in our ministry involvement, in our building renewal project, it is easy and tempting to leave people behind as well. Instead, let us be a shepherded community, renewing our hearts, building as one, leaving no one behind. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond. You can play the song. One voice. My brothers and sisters, we have come to the end of this series. And I asked the pianist to play the song that we were singing as our closing song. That song is One Voice, because it expresses for us what we have been asking God to fulfill among us in this sermon and Bible study series. The sermon series has concluded, and after all that we have studied and learned, where are we and where are you in our understanding and experience of Christian community? PSBC is to be a Christian community that is spiritual in our posture, interdependent in our partnership, restoring towards the repentant, worshipful in our lives, sent for the harvest, serving the needs of others, loving like God first loved us, repentant in our confession, forgiving as God has forgiven us, and shepherded by leading no one astray and leaving no one behind. Where are we? Where are you in this understanding of Christian community? And this is our prayer, that one voice, one heart, one mind, we shall proclaim the kingdom of God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we give thanks for this year's church team, renewing our hearts, building as one, that help us to deepen our understanding of what it means for the church to be people instead of mere bricks and mortars, walls and buildings. And as we conclude this sermon series, we pray for the renewal of all levels of leadership within PSBC, from the church leaders, ministry leaders, small group leaders, and all of us who are responsible for the people whom you have entrusted to our care. We pray that this Lent season will be a time of reflection, repentance, and renewal as we follow in the footsteps of Christ. Lord, we ask that with the biblical vision of Christian community before us, may we find our oneness in Christ and express our fellowship in the Spirit, so that in seeking the lost, restoring the strayed, tending the wounded, strengthening the weak, we will be renewing our hearts, building as one, leaving no one behind. For we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the shepherd of the flock. Amen. Please be seated.